10th, Sugya of Marada, a very, very important Sugya, Loch Mesa, in terms of precisely what color of blood is halachically considered to be blood. Just a little bit of a background. The Gemara tells us in the Masechet Nida, in the Masechet Sanhedrin, the Torah says, Kipalevim chodavol ha-mishpat ben dam l'dam. The Torah gives it, actually shows them an example of a different shayla that's going to come up in generations to come. You're not going to know what the din is. You're going to have to ask the chacham in your town. They're not going to know what the din is. You're going to have to go to the Beis and the Gadol. You're going to have to follow the Psah. We see Safiyah Dama Shegil Chabir will come home. So this is the parsha that's given to us, the parsha of the Sosser, the entire authority of the Chachmei Torah, the Paschal Shail, is all found in these Psukim Parshas Shoftim. So the Torah introduces, giving an example of a different Shail that may come up. Ki Palevim Chadam La Mishpat Bin Dam La Dam Bin Din La Din Bin Egon Nega. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin explains that what does bindam l'dam mean? It means bindam tol l'dam tomei. Means you can have shaylas in uchas nita. Is this dam? Is this asur? Is it mutar? Is it tomei? Is it tohar? So you may not know the din. So you have to ask the rabban. The rabban is going to have to ask the rabban. You have to ask the rabban, etc. So the Gemara says from here we derive that there's a concept of dam. It's blood. Maybe biologically blood. Probably is biologically blood. And it's not necessarily also. Only certain types of blood, certain colors of blood, are considered to be problematic in Uchas Nidah. It's with that background that the Mishnah tells us on the first of the Ramakomos that we have a tradition, Ishmi Pishat Mesh Rabbeinu, we have a tradition that there are certain Maras Damim that are problematic, and there are certain Maras Damim that are permissible. So the first of the Ramakomos, the Mishnah tells us, Chamisha Damim Tamein B'Isha. There are five different colors that are problematic. One is a adom, one is if it's red, a shachor if it's black, Karen karkom, uchamemi adoma, uchamazuk. I'm going to deliberately not translate those three because it has a long discussion as to what precisely those things are. So, faisit, then I think the Mishnah has a little bit of a chlekes. Beshamiyom, afkamemi tosar, uchamemi basatzli, beksilvatara. Again, I'm not going to translate that either. Some other kinds of related colors. So, the bottom line is the Mishnah told us. Almost red, with different shades of red, and then black, I don't know, in its own category. So the Gemara explains that the premise of the entire Mishnah is that unless it's considered to be within the red family, it's not even a discussion. If it's not red, then it's mutter. The very word dam actually is related to the word adom. Adom is from dam, whichever word leads to the other. The two are synonymous with one another. If it's not red, then it's not a problem. All the different colors that the Mishnah is giving us are different shades of red. The Mishnah is really telling us two chidushim. Number one, if it's not red, even though it comes from the uterus, it's not a problem. And even if it is red, not all reds are problematic. Only these very, very specific shades of reds are problematic. Then you have a nuance and a little bit of machlokes b'shar b'sila about one or two of the shades, just where exactly do you draw the line. But the color that... Adam is a kind of red, right? Adam is not like a general statement. Adam is a kind of red, and then there's red, and a brunish red, and a pinkish red, and whatever the different nuances of red are. The only color here that stands out on its own, of course, is shachor, is black. So here the Gemara tells us that black is not really red, but shachor, black blood, is adam or shaloka. It's really red, but it was hurt, it was locked up. I guess in the more modern day we'd say it wasn't oxygen. The blood loses its meringue, something like that. Okay, it loses its oxygen, so it starts to get darker. So the Mishnah tells us that there are five official colors. Four of them are mamish in the red family. One of them used to be in the red family, black. And these, only these, are the colors that are problematic. There is a question to be shown about whether black is a real problem in October or not. They say that the color would be red right now. The fact that it was maybe red at some point doesn't interest us. Some folks can wanted to question whether shachar is a din min haTorah, and others say no, shachar is listed with the other four. It is a problem in haTorah. Again, as we talk a little bit later on, we'll see what the practical ramifications of the black is. But the starting point of the Mishnah is clear that it has to be red. And again, not only does it have to be red, it has to be a very specific type of red. Then the Mishnah concludes with another color, Hayarok. The blood is Yarok. I'm very weary to translate what Yarok means. We know what Yarok means in modern Hebrew, but it's not clear what it means in Halachic Hebrew. Yarok can either mean yellowish, Yarok can either mean greenish, and whatever color that Yarok is, now we have Machlekes HaTanaim. The Kavod of Ha'olam Mekame, the Kavod of Ha'olam Hel, that refers to it to be a problem. But the thing is, it has to be Ta, it has to be Adom, that everybody agrees to. So apparently a Kavya Mahalel understood that this Yarok is close enough, it's also in the extended red family. We have to figure out what exactly this color is. But Yaakov and Halo seem to be assumed this is considered to be within the red family, and it's a problem. Racham B'Tahar, and everybody else held it was Tahor. We're probably going to Paskin like the Racham, that Dam Yarof is Tahor, but we're not quite sure what that Dam Yarof is. So what we have basically from the Mishnah is premise number one, that it has to be some kind of a redness, or else there's nothing to discuss. Premise number two is, even if it's red, that in and of itself is not necessarily a problem, unless it meets one of the shades of red. And number three, we have this controversial, questionable color called Yarok, but we're not quite sure what it is, but yeah, we have Machlokes at Torah about it. So the Rosh, in the second of the Rav Kamos, so the Rosh towards the end of the second line, so quotes the Pirush Reb, the Mikan Mashma, the Yarok Star would sever double the Chalmon Shalpeitza, or the Zav Hanotu Lamara Admumis. So says the Rosh, obviously the Yarok that the Tanoim are arguing about has to be something that's close to red. It's on the, it's almost in the red family. So what can it mean? So the Rosh says, well, tell you what it can't mean. It can't mean green. He said, it can't mean like it means in some places. It can't mean what it means in modern Hebrew, Yarok, green. I mean, the world's green, blue, and red. Be that's referring to more of a yellowish color. And the Rush is trying to give you a reference point. So he says it's like the chamo shabed, like an egg yolk, or maybe like a goldish kind of a color, that it's no filamara ad mumis. So at least we can begin to understand where a kavi b'mahalo is coming from. Why a kavi b'mahalo said, well, if it's a yellowish, it's a goldish, and it's almost close to red. If you remember back to our science days about the colors of the spectrum, Roy G. Biv, I was a kid, he was still around, Roji Bib. So yellow is right next to orange, which is right next to red. So orangey, you know, I could hear somebody saying like an orangey color is a reddish color, and maybe a very darkish yellowish is closer to orange and closer to red. I could hear already a little bit. If it's getting a little bit too far on the color spectrum, far down the rainbow, it's Roy G. Green. Green and red, they don't have anything to do with one another. So that's what the Rosh is assuming, that the yellow, that the Yarok that the Tanoim are arguing about, he's giving you the mushel, it's almost like an egg yolk or something like a goldish kind of a color. Then he brings you other rayas from other areas of halacha. Then he goes on quotes you sugyas from Maseches Chulin, he quotes you Midrashim that use the word Yarok in different places, and back and forth and back and forth. What different rayas, what it must mean in this context. If you take a look now, we'll skip down to fourth line to the bottom of the Rosh, remember the period towards the end of the line. Start from the bottom, it says Alma, remember the top. Alma, the Stam Yarok with seven Otlad Mumis Kizov. So now comes the Rosh and says, does any of this matter for us? He says, not really. Uvidoros alone, in our generations, Ein Dvoki B'maras HaDomim. Most people today are not bekiyim, not experts in the different shades of colors. L'shoyn al chachmoso, l'hafrid bein dam l'dam. It's obviously he's paraphrasing the pasuk chumash. He says, "B'man hazeh, we don't have chachamim who are experts enough to differentiate within the different nuances of colors of blood." Then the Rosh says, "It's not even a problem. It started in our days. Afilu b'mechach mi'ashas." Even in the days of the Gemara, there on the run, we didn't look at Dhamma. The Gemara told the story in the second Baruch of Nida that a certain Amor was asked to Shaila Dhamma. He says, he's not a Baki, he's not an expert, he doesn't have that ability to discern properly between the different colors of Dhamma. So the Rosh and Baduch, in the days of Chazal, the Amor himself shied away from it. So who today is going to say that, oh, for an expert, a Baki, I can tell exactly what the color is? Kol Shekin HaIbna. Says the Rosh, therefore today, any color that comes to us that is notali admumis, that has an etiyah, it's leaning, it has a mash or something that looks like a reddish color, we're going to have to be machmir. Says the Rosh, are we saying that there is a vadai? Are we saying that we know for a fact that it's also no? Because as we learned before, even if it's red, doesn't necessarily mean it's also, unless it meets one of those shades of red, if it's a different kind of red, so it's a very lightish red, whatever the cutoff points are, it could theoretically be called the Lashon Bnei Adam red, and that will actually be a problem. If it doesn't meet this criteria of the five damim, the five alachos shenayim damim, then it's mutter. The Russians, who in the world today is going to tell you whether it's kikerma karkum or not kikerma? You don't know what a kikerma karkum is. Who's going to tell you it's kimemi adomo or not? So anything that looks to us like it's potentially red, we're going to have to ask the bizman hazeh, as they used to do. Many amorim used to do actually bizman chazal as well. However, what will we be matir bizman hazeh? Doesn't mean that we're out of business legamri. The rush continues. So nobody today is going to be matir something that's not a lev mumis. But in lo she'e lavon, the yaro kibar hazav. However, if it's white, it's going to be a great chachmi matir white, or if it's yellowish, even though it looks like goldish, and as the rush has told you before, gold is almost close to the red family, well, that's what the machlokes Akavi Mahala and everybody else was. Apagat the Tanakama Savda Dam Yartal, even though there's one Tana that we didn't speak about who holds that Yarrow is potentially a problem to some degree. Nira da Loch Chacham, we follow the Chacham de Mitarin. Yehi da Loch Kibesil, the Mitarin, we tell something, Boss of Fleet of Tanakama, etc. Would it be Dam Yarrow and Loch Tanakama? That we don't follow any other Tanakam except for the view of the Chachamim, and therefore if it's a Dam Yarrow, even we are going to be comfortable to be retired. So what the Rosh just gave us a Chumr, and he gave us a Kula. Chumr was, he said, if it's any shape or form of red, forget it, Bizman Hazeh. Don't think that you're smart enough to discern within different types of red, even Chazal, not even the days of Chazal, even though some of them weren't able to do that. So nobody today is gonna have the audacity to retire Mamish red blood. On the other hand, if it's not red, then we're okay, Bizman Hazeh. And what's considered to be not red, white is not red, and yarok is not red, i.e. anything in the yellowish family is going to be okay. So the Rosh was machmer and mekel, but at least he opened up the possibility for still looking at dogma today. What Rabbanim Bizman Hazeh for the last 800,000 years, or 1,500 years, 1,800 years, whatever the color point became of not shying away from looking at dogma, so basically what happened to Bizman Hazeh is as follows. When the Rav is asked to shout for a dam, he is not looking to see, well, is it Kemozog or Kememi Adoma or that? Nobody's doing that, it's not as that. What he's looking for is it Mara Anota Le Mumis? Is there any mash, is there any smacks of red in there? If there's any smacks of red in there, then it's also, if it's not red at all, it's only in the Yarok family, then it's going to be okay. So the Rosh was a Mekil that he let you get away with the yellow discharges, which is a very, very common shayla. Most of the shayla that come to Zman Hazeh that end up being Tohar are yellowish kinds and the nuances of yellow. So according to the Rosh, we're okay, we're home free with that. However, not everybody agreed even to the cool of the Rosh. If they look at the next page in Mamakom, Kol Muslim 11, so the Me'iri disagrees with the Rosh. The Me'iri and the top of the page and the 11th page of the Rambam Kamos is bothered with the Kasha. What's going on with the Yarok? What are they talking about? The Tanoim are fighting about whether the yellow is awesome. What's going on? So the Aval Pisha Eli Yarok Shum Shaychas Amar Domim says, what does Yarok have to do with the color of blood? Lo mitam zeh el shayah sovor she'odom hoya v'loka ma'at v'zeh yakusach ad isi b'gemara. So comes the Biblia and says, we mistranslated what the word Yarok means. You thought Yarok was yellow because you couldn't believe it could mean green. It was green after anything. Says the Biblia, no. Yarok of the Mishnah means green. So why in the world did a Kavim Hallow become green? Well, green, if it's a very, very dark green, is very close to black. A very, very heavy-duty dark green. It would be a very dark color. It's going to be almost like blackish. And that's going to be a concern of maybe it was dam and it was a loka. The same way the Mishnah says that if it's black blood, it's a problem. According to many men of Torah, it's a problem because it was other melish and loka. That's what a kavi was concerned with, that if it's a dark green, it also is dam or melish and loka. And that the Chum said, nah, don't worry about it. Nah, that's okay. That's the yarok of the Gemara. Umitoch kach says, Biri, Eini mash bazu ela yaroka gomer dam lekarsing. Therefore, we paskin against the kavya. We paskin like the chachamim that the yarok is permissible. We're not concerned with green being a quasi black. So yes, that's true. That we're making a lot of sense. Dark green blood, we're going to be mafia. But anything else, we're very weary. Says the Biri, that which my colleagues, other rishonim such as the Rush, were mitayer yellow. I'm not mitayer yellow so fast. Said, where does it say yellow's mutter? Maybe yellow's too close to red. Maybe yellow's too rugged. Bit. It's a little bit too close to the orange. You're close to the reddish. Maybe it's too close to the yellow, to the red family. The only source we have to say that the yellow mucus discharge, all that kind of those colors, the goldish and the egg yolks and all the normal colors that we find today, are mutter. It's all based on the Rush's reading that yarok meant yellow, and that was the machlekes of Tanoim, and we pass the kula. It says to me, according to my pshat, that yarok means green. So we have a precedent to be tar green, great, wonderful. We don't have any green, very rarely get green shadows today. But we do get yellow shadows, said to me, I have no precedent to be matter yellow, and therefore yellow is a chashash. Maybe it's mara notala admumis, maybe it's a concern.
But what about the fact that the Mishnah says that the only dumb that are us are the reds?
Right, but the problem is that once we already accept that the Rush told us the chumra of the Rush, and in fact that anything that's in the red family is a problem, we don't know where do you draw the end of the red film. Is orange red? Pink red? Is yellow red? We don't know. So it's only according to the Rush that Yarok was the Machlokes, and therefore we fast like the Chavis Mutter, so we can ignore yellow. But once you interpret Yarok to mean green, then you have no source that yellow is anything different. So maybe yellow is too close for comfort. So you're right, yellow is probably not one of the five Novim, but it's still maybe too close for us to be Mitzvah. So how do we pass the halacha now? This is a major shaila. This is literally a monthly shaila. Every woman today has, in the days of the Rosh Hashanah, also had mucusy discharges, yellowish discharges. So do we take the attitude, yellow, yeah, shmetz, garnish, it's nothing, it's heter gomor, as long as there's nothing reddish in there, or do we say no? Yellow is a chashash, yellow is a suffix, maybe it's a maradam. So the Shulchan Aruch.
How does it translate dunkin' luck?
Shalom, is it like they got deoxygenated? They lost oxygen. So come to Shulchan Aruch in the fourth of the Ramakamos, in your day in Simav Kuf Pechesef Aleph, and tells us, Kol Mara Adam, anything that's red, Beini Kera Harbe, whether it's a lightish red, or Amok, or it's a deeper red to me. If it's red, it's a problem. Vechein Kol Mara Shochar, and anything that's black is also a problem. The Eitar Elamare Lavon, the only thing the Shulchan Aruch says we're going to let you go with is if it's whitish, the whitest, clearest discharge, that's for sure, okay? The Chein Mare Yarok, says the Shulchan Aruch, you can breathe a sigh of relief, that Mare Yarok is also okay. Afilu Kemar Hashaiva O Hazahav, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if it looks like a waxyish color or a goldenish color, so it's a yellowish or even a darker yellowish color, those are all okay. The kosher get a yarok and karsis and kalchimer, if it's green mamish or kassav, looks like grass, that's for sure, it's okay. So Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief, maybe. That the Shulchan Aruch, well, we know the Shulchan Aruch is matir. I didn't say he, we're matir yet, but the Shulchan Aruch is matir, that if it's yellow, it's okay. Are you following the opinion of the Rush? Then the Rabbah throws in for good luck. Chemar shekarin b'loshen Ashkenaz blue b'chal yaroku. I have never had a shayla blue, but Rabbah says just in case you get a shayla like that, that's for sure okay. Also, right? V'afilu yesh bo smichus now, and says the Shulchan Aruch, even if it's thickish and we think that it's blood, ab harbe, we think it's really it's came from that area. V'afilu gishe shnifach mekayra. Even if she felt that she had a psichas abopar, so we know it's coming from the mofar. She checks right away. Umatza bara salalu tahora. Said it's okay. Everything is all right. And that's the tzak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah didn't disagree. The Ramah quotes at the very end, lo ki yesh machmir on the tamar yesh b'smichas hu'ah. She was Adeshi quotes the Shita, that if it's very thickish, so then maybe that's more of a concern. And the Ramah writes, the low kiyish machmir, we're not even machmir for that. So the bottom line is, if you just read through the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, we can really, really breathe a sigh of relief that we don't have any concerns with the yells. Again, assuming that it wasn't what the Rush called notably at Mumis, assuming that it wasn't a reddish tinge to it, so this may take a little bit of practice to be able to see, is there a reddish tinge or not a reddish tinge, but if we're okay, there's no reddish tinge to it, it's not notably at Mumis, so then we're going to be mathered outright like the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam.
What does it mean?
It's thickish, it's very thickish, it has like a consistency of blood. So even though it has a physical consistency of blood and it could be biologically its blood, that doesn't concern us. So it sounds like it's the end of the sugya, not quite yet. There is a comment I didn't put on the Ramakrosa, it's a comment of the Bartanura in the Mishnayos, where the Bartanura writes that he interprets the yarok like the iri, and it means the green. And he writes, what about yellow? So the Matirua writes, it's a problem. You have to be choshish for yellow. And then he writes a very, very strange comment. He says, lo shemati mi yomai mi shemater as a tzohob.
Never
heard, he writes that he never heard in his life anybody, any rav should be matir yellow. He says, that's like, you do it before some, that's the psak throughout the world. Never heard of anything. It's very difficult about this Bartanura. He was a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch. He, I have to check the years, whether he even met the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if he actually met the Jews in Cairo. He was in Italy for a while. I think he was in Egypt for a while. So he was a rabbi. He wasn't living in the middle of nowhere. He was in the middle of contact with other great Talmid Chachamim. And he lived at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch. Lo Shamati. Never heard anybody was Matir. Anybody. Most of the Rishonim were Matir. The Rosh was Matir. The Shulchan Aruch was Matir. The Rama was Matir. So it's a very strange thing that he says. But again, he's quoting that other tradition, that tradition that was closer in sync with the Meiri. That was the meaning. The Meiri was a rabbi in Provence, and Minhagim of Italy and Provence were very close to one another. Provence was southern France, so a lot of the Minhagim of Italy, the Italian rabbanim and the southern French rabbanim, was like, maybe that was the meaning. Maybe that was the more prevalent meaning in that part of the world. But in terms of meaning of the Rosh was in Germany, in Spain, and Shemarach was in Spain in the early days, and in Turkey, and in Sfarad, and in Israel. So apparently there were different traditions floating around even at that time. There were those poskim who were machmer the yellows, and then the majority of the poskim, including most important for us, the halacha, with the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, were both makil on the yellows. So where does that place us today? So it sounds like we're in better shape, maybe not perfect shape, but it sounds like we're in pretty good shape. So there is a Marmach, the fifth of the Marmach comes from the Chayin Adam, just to put things historically into context. The Chayin Adam lived in Danzig, in Poland, in the late 1700s. He was close to the Grom. He actually himself was not a rav in the sense of a rav. Surely he was a businessman, the Chayodim, but he was a Talmud of the Grom. And he used to, he wrote the Chayodim and the Chachmasadim and many great works of the Halacha in Europe before the Mishnah Brura was written. So the normal standard of learning Halacha was Chayodim. They used to have, like today, you know, first of all, to learn halacha, to learn Mishnah Brura. So before the Mishnah Brura, Chayodim was the standard book. So he used to go to the Gra and talk to the Gra and learning very often. So the Chayodim writes in the Sefer Chachmasam, Chayodim is on or Chayim Chachmasam is on Yeredeya. So he describes what a woman should do when she does a hefsek tarim, when she's checking herself to make sure that there's no dam. So the fifth of the Ma'amakomos. So it says, "Achakach tikach peget pishta lovan yavesh." She should take a small cloth, we call it tikach cloth, made out of either a linen, or tzemegefen, or made out of cotton. That's what we use today. The tachnis b'osamakom, she should put it into that area. L'chor l'stokin, she should check herself very well, all the crevices in that area. And makom she'shamish dash, she should try to go as far as she can to be able to penetrate to as far as the aver of the man would go to talk to tashmish. The tirin, she should take a look at this particular cloth. Im yesh bo shum mara ad mumis al shachar. She checks on the hefsek tara cloth, the particular cloth, to see that there's no red on the cloth, that there's no black on the cloth. And now he says, venerally, this is where the chayodim now talking, it would appear to me, afilu kemara gel, even if it's gel, gel is the Yiddish word for yellow, even if it's yellow, kishayva, like wax, upshita kizav, and much more so if it's like a golden, it's even darker, it's even closer a little bit to the orangey family. Yesh lahach b'dikazu. He says that we should be mocking it when the woman is doing a hefsek tara. So the tara is done, but she's been bleeding for the last couple of days, and now she senses the bleeding is over. She wants to begin to count shemitakiyim, so the halach is, she has to first check herself before shkia, to make sure that all the bleeding is over, before she can begin shivanakim. It has to be a yom noki. The only way to know that it's a clean day is that she's checked before to check that the bleeding is over. So this check on the hefsek tara is a critical check, because this is the check that's going to take her out of the status of having been seen. She's been seen for the last 5, 6, 7 days. Now she's going to ascertain that she's not going to see for the next 7 days. So this is the most pivotal bedikah. This is the most critical of all the bedikos, the bedikah of hefsek tara. So he writes that it would appear to him that if on the hefsek tara, she comes up with the yellow, she comes up with the gold, yesh lahach b'dikazu. our standards of color should be more chomer on Nefzik Tara than perhaps the rest of the time.
That's because she's already,
she was like a cheskes sister, right. She's a cheskes.
She just stands tall.
That's who's going to draw this distinction in a second. So the chayodam is very weary of it's a yellowish, goldish color on Nefzik Tara. He's very weary to be mekil, and then he puts it in the parentheses. Even though we passed in a ches, that was the Shulchan Aruch and the Rebbe we just read, the Yarok Tohar, that the emphasis that yellow was Tohar, we passed it against him, we passed it like the Rosh that he could in, that yellow was okay. But he says, Kevin, the Shloch Kosav Vishem Arshal, Shekosav Marimins Vishem Agadolim, the Ein Latar B'Mihirus. There were other poskim who were weary about this, following the other tradition of the Meiri and the Bartadura, and of course the Shloh, the Mashal, of other poskim who didn't interpret Yerot like we did, who thought that yellow may end up being Asur. The Lachain, the Chayyadim almost sounds like a compromise. The Lachain, Al Kol Panim Evdika Zu, Shandaini, the Cheskis Roa, Yesh Lachmir. So now in the Efsik Tara, where she has, as David said, correct, she has almost like the chazoch against her. She has a cheskes roa. She has a status quo that she's been seeing. So in order to say she stopped seeing, we better make sure that it's really, really clean. Like legamer, without any sfeik, without any pukim. So therefore the chayyadim came up with the schumra that vis-a-vis the Efsik Tara, we're gonna be machmer, not to rely on the mekilim that yellow. For the chayyadim, it's clear that subsequent days, we do have a right to be making. Later days in the week, we can be making. There are those who added to the chumra of the chayyadim, the Moshe, in one place, that maybe we should be a little bit more machmir, not just on the Hefzik Tara. There is a principle we'll talk about a little bit later on, about the first 3 days of Shivniki. We touched on a little bit in Hilchos Ksamim. We spoke about there are certain chumras that we have during the first 3 days of Shivnikiyim, because she's almost like still like residue of bleeding. You know, many women do have shadows that come up. There are more shadows that come up at the beginning of Shivnikiyim, obviously, than at the end. So there are some poskim who had a chumra that maybe the first 3 days we should also go with the higher standards, and we shouldn't be mitahir unless it's clear of any yellowish color whatsoever. So again, these are all almost like the ikra din are okay with yellow, but if it's Efsik Tara, but if it's first 3 days, maybe we should be a little bit more machmir. So we have now a lot of different possibilities on the board in terms of practical halacha, what a take should be on these yellow colors. One can take the attitude that it's all awesome. Okay, like there was the Be'iri and the Bartanura and the Dabba to discuss, and that's not what the Tanakh we're talking about. And yellow is Mamash Amaradam, it's close, too close to red, and it's Asa Lagam. That's the biggest Lachmir. Then you have the biggest Mekilim with the Shukroch and the Ramah who say that it's totally Mutter by following the Rosh, and it never was a Shaila, nothing to discuss. It's Mutter and Efsik Tara, it's Mutter Lagam. Then you have two possibilities in the middle who say that, well, it's basically Mutter, but we're going to be Machmir when it's early on, and then you have different lines. Where to draw the line? The Chayyadim drew the line at the Efsik Tara, and others, or Moshe maybe drew the line a little bit later. How do we follow? Depends who we are. How do we say what our Torah we follow? Anyway, everybody else follows. So the tradition that I have is totally Mutter. It's Lagami Mutter straight out of the Shulchan Aruch, straight out of the Ramah. That we're not Cheshish with these Chumras of the Efsik Tara and Shemaki and everything. If it's yellow, it's yellow. It's Mutter. It's finished. And no matter when a woman comes up with a yellow shadow, provided that it's yellow. Again, it means it has to be determined that it's only yellow. Maybe it's no double red. Maybe there are possibly yellows that look like they're red. It's a different ballgame. But if the Rav is comfortable saying that it's completely 100% yellow, so then again, my Rebbeim told me that we have a right to be making Lekamre, which again seems to be the more, almost as conventional, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, straight out the Shulchan Aruch, Taz and the Shach, and all the classic poskim in Yerodea, who say that way without involving these other Chumras of the Chayodim and others who started to chisel away at the Kula. There is a second Shiloh, which is probably even more common than yellow, and that's a Shiloh that, strangely enough, the Rishonim don't discuss, the Shiloh brown. Where did that fit into the picture? So brown is not a color of the rainbow. So it's a mixture of different colors. So is brown too close for comfort? Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? It could potentially be too close for comfort for one of two reasons. Maybe one could argue brown is too close to red. Maybe one could argue brown is too close to black. Either one of those two statements could cause you trouble, because red and black are both problematic colors. Or maybe you could have a brown that is mishredish black, its own color. So what's the difference? So strangely enough, the Rishonim don't talk about it explicitly, but in the sixth of the Ramah Kabbalah, the Pischa Tshuva, and Yerodea does talk about it. The Ayin B'Sidrei Taharos. Sidrei Taharos, we've quoted many times before, one of the classic poskim of Chasnida. The Ayin B'Sidrei Taharos, B'Shem Mem Chof. Who is Mem Chof? Matzasi Kosov. Matzasi Kosov means I found written somewhere. Now, if you want to know where it was Matzasi Kosov and why the Sidrei Taharos didn't want to tell you where the source was the Tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The reason why he didn't want to quote it where it was from is because we know in Europe there was a big argument, a big machlekes, a tragic machlekes between the supporters of Rabbi Yosef Eibishitz and the supporters of Yaakov Emden. It was after the days of Shabtai Tzvi. People were choosing Yosef to be the Shabtai Tzvinik, and I don't think it was from the Talmud, and Yaakov Emden got involved in the fight. Everyone, it was a big political mess for a good 100 years in Europe. So I think that the Sidrei Taharos just wanted to be Isha Shalom. He didn't want to tell you where it's coming from. He didn't, oh, that was, I'm not part of that camp, so I'm not going to follow that cool. I'm not going to follow that. It's nothing to do with politics. This doesn't do with Shabtai Tzvi. This has to do with whether Brown is a Maraton or Maratomen. So he didn't want to say, that's all I found. Shteyn Svar. Shteyn says the Sefer somewhere, but the source of the Sefer says Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden was an Adam Gobel in and of himself, and he was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. So Chacham Tzvi was my mamash. Daily Ador, so Rav Yaakov Emden is giving a psak, some got it from the sir from his father, so something that carries a significant weight in halacha. So the Ayin B'Sidrei and the Sidrei Taharos is accepting it, so, and the Pesach Tshuva is accepting it. So this is already normal, you know, conventional wisdom. The Ayin B'Sidrei Taharos, B'Shem Matzatzik Kosef, Shadam Enot L'Tzeva, in case you're not sure what the color is, Behoin, brown. And now, in case you're not sure what brown is, listen to the description. Shadam Klipas Amonim Uchmo Mashke HaKofi. Kofi. That's the Arabic word for coffee. So he says, Shehu Tahar. He says that that's okay. It's not a problem. The Yitzah Klamah B'Kesem. Not only is it permissible on a Bika cloth, it's a real Ma'ara, but even if it's Kavachem, if it's in a Kesem, just you find a brown stain, that's for sure okay. The fish, Eino Notel Adumis. That's not red. It's not red. It's not looking to red. It's not leaning to red. Mutter, Zette Goma, Ayin Shem. The Gamaniba Tzasi Zos Kosov. And says the Pesach Tshuva, I also found it. Who b'shemus Yavet in the Rav Yaakov Emden. Yavet stands for Yaakov Emden Ben Tzvi. That was his the Chacham Tzvi's son. So Chelak Alsim and Dal Ein Shem. That was the source of the original Kula. So the Acharonim right. The Gedolei Acharonim, the Gedolei Poskim, you're there right. The brown, provided that it's not Notel La'admumis, as we said before, just plain simple brown is going to be permissible. Not everyone agreed to this. Others said, wait a second, how come nobody says before? How come the Shulchan Aruch didn't say? How come the Rishonim didn't talk about it? So the question is, what conclusion did you draw? So some said, the reason why the Rishonim didn't say it, because it was so obviously mutter. And others say, no, the reason why the Rishonim didn't say it, because it was so obviously usher. So again, your choice, which way you want to, which conclusion you want to draw. How are we naig here? So again, I can't speak for Orabana, I can't speak about here. So, we have a tradition that's permissible to follow this path of the Sidrei Taharos and the Rav Yaakov Emden, and probably the Chacham Tzvi and others before and after. So we assume that brown is considered to be a permissible color, provided that it's not Notel La'admumis. The model that's given is the color of coffee. And the question is, how close to the model of coffee is it? So the post can discuss, coffee is different colors. With milk, without milk, depends on what the coffee looks like. But it's generally, you know, many folks will make it that if it's anywhere within the brown family, we assume that it's okay. Now, brown is a very tricky color because the line between brown and red is very, very small. Very often, you know, someone will say, yeah, I have a brown shot to show you. Take a look. If you look at it carefully, so sometimes you'll pick up highlights of red. Sometimes the outsides, sometimes there'll be a little bit of streaks of red, which of course would be a serious problem. If it's black, if it's black in the brown, that's also going to be a problem. But this becomes tricky. At what point do you say that brown is black? So if you take a look at a brown mara, so very often it'll be a very, very dark brown, and it may even give off almost like a little bit black. And here you have different traditions of Rabbanim about how to assess that. So some Rabbanim will say, well, I look at it, it's an unbelievably dark brown, so that's black already, it's too close for comfort. Other of what I'm saying, if you look at it carefully, you'll notice that it's still not black. Black is black, and dark brown is brown. And the reason why it's so black is because very often it's caked on different layers. It's a little bit blood, it's a little bit thicker blood, a little bit more blood on it. So sometimes it'll give off a color looking like it's black, but if you look at it really carefully, it's not really black. It's really very, very dark brown. So again, the HVH, there are different traditions as to where to draw the line of that.
So you just said that it's blood on it, so what?
But even though medically we may know it's blood, but if it doesn't have the halachic status of red, it can be mutter. There's a test, there's a medical way to test whether it's blood or not. It's simple chemical, you put it on, it turns colors. The question is, so what? So we know it's blood. So Eliyahu HaNavi told me it's blood. It's still mutter, because the Mishnah says, it's not from the Maris Adam, it's mutter. So brown is not one of the Maris Adam, it's not just Adam, so that's mutter no matter what it is. So again, one can obviously sense there are different nuances and different opinions and different traditions within the fine lines of where do you draw the line, what's called red, what's called brown, what's called red, what's called yellowish. And these are all different nuances. But the basic klalim are the klalim that we're working with. If you work with different klalim, if you go with the klalim, the brown is the problem, then you're in a whole different world. If you don't accept this Siddur Torah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minig in his days, he was a rabbi in Lithuania, he writes that the minig is that with Mata Browns, he said, if you're not with Mata Browns, he says, women have browns all the time. You're going to be Mata and Brown, you're going to be answering women right and left all the time, because women have all these kinds of rias and all these kinds of umbilical cords throughout Shem Nikiyam, they're brown colors. The Padi HaShulchan, the classic in America, obviously, he writes the same lashon. He writes that Hayadua, that women, Bizman is there, probably in the old days also had multiple of these brown stains throughout the course of the month, and Kabbalah Chomer during Shem Nikiyam. If you're going to put your foot down brown, you're going to aim the Tarish Lamad. You're never going to get to the mikvah. So the minig is amongst most of the rabbis that I deal with is that they're matte brown. But even when you're matte brown, you have to be careful that the brown shouldn't be something that's notel admumis. But next week, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these notel admumis, other possible shades, and just to wrap up in terms of some of the nuances.
And Tuesday, Wednesday, we're off.
Tuesday, Wednesday, we're off. Friday, we'll be late. We'll figure out a
right,
list.
Right. The truth is, we could do seven, but everyone's to be. Yeah.